Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
We got two opening scriptures today, but don't worry. Who knows? There's no such thing as too much Word of God, right? Like if all we do is read scripture, then we did everything we should do, right? Because there's nothing more anointed than the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We talked about wisdom this past Sunday and going into what wisdom meant and going into the into really the details of it and breaking down. But we're going to go a little bit further, and we're going to study the life of Solomon a little bit. Solomon wrote this scripture in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. But we're going to jump now to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this is before Solomon has written that proverb in chapter 9. And now where we pick up in this passage of scripture is that God has, in Solomon's dream, God has told him, he said, if you ask anything of me, whatever you ask, I will give it to you. First of all, who would love a dream like that where God was like, hey, whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. But can I say this? In scripture actually says, if we ask anything of our Father, he will give it to us. He give us the desires of our heart. So we really can. But God in this dream to Solomon said, whatever you want, ask for it, and I will give it to you. He said, what do you want? And this was Solomon's reply in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. He said, now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous that cannot be counted. So he said, give me an understanding heart. Everybody say understanding. See, most people think that Solomon asked for wisdom, but he actually asked for understanding. He said, give me an understanding heart. Verse 9. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom and governed my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else had ever or ever will have. And he said this, verse 13, and I will also give you what you did not ask for. Come on, who's thankful for a God who gives us even what we don't ask for? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be limited to my own requests because I don't really know a lot. But I know that God knows exactly what I need. And he says, Solomon, look, I know you asked for wisdom, but I'm going to give you even what you didn't ask for. He says, riches and fame, verse 13. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And he says this, and if you follow me and obey, everybody say obey. And God was saying, the last scripture, the last thought, he said, it's dependent on this. He said, if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life. The title for tonight is this, Wealthy in Wisdom. Wealthy in wisdom. Does anybody want to be wealthy in wisdom tonight? Want to be able to live a long life being wealthy in wisdom? Let's pray over the service together. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this house, God. We thank you right now for your spirit, God, that's taking over, Father. We say, Holy Spirit, have your way. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for you. So we thank you for your, God, words being spoken. We thank you, Father, for hearts being softened, for minds being opened, that we're going to see your hand and we're going to see, God, your spirit move, and we're going to be transformed from the inside out. So, God, we block out every distraction right now. Remove every barrier right now. We break any stronghold right now when we say, Father, let your will be done, and God, let there be, God, a fruitfulness, let there be a harvest from the seed that's being planted, your word that's being planted, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen, amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand clap of praise tonight, and y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. Thank you for standing in honor of reading the word of God. I found out something recently, and now it almost makes me feel like I'm getting old, but apparently they no longer require, once you like study of taking a driver's test, you know, you go to driving class, whatever you call it, they no longer require you to then actually take a driving test in a vehicle with an instructor. Did you know that? I'm pretty sure that's it, because somebody told me, I was like, what? But don't put it all the way on me, I don't know. But I was like, what? You know, first of all, now that makes me scared to be on the road. And I was like, okay, I don't want to be this guy's driving test, all right? Like, you know, I don't want to be the first one that this 16-year-old is experiencing, you know, on the road with me. But it reminded me back to when I took my driving test. And I remember, you know, you go through driving class and you learn about all what the different signs means. You learn about what all the different rules of traffic is. And then, but I had an arch enemy, or I had an arch enemy I didn't even know existed. But in class, we would study it a lot because it's something that you have to know to do, and that's parallel parking. And so in class, right, you would watch videos on how to parallel park. So I remember watching those videos. I remember seeing how you're supposed to do it. I had the knowledge of parallel parking. But once that driving test came around to where I actually had to do it, I remember that I was acing everything else. I was doing what I was supposed to. But when I got up to having to parallel between those two cones, I was like, look, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I really don't know how to do it, right? Like, I know I've watched videos on this, I've taken a test on this, I've written tests, right? But I've never gotten behind the wheel and actually know how to do it. And I remember looking at the driver instructor who's in the seat with me, and I remember looking at him, and I was about to attempt it, and I looked at him and I said, you know what, dude, let's just skip over this. And I just kept on and continued with the test. And surprisingly, I passed. I don't know how, but I passed that test. And don't worry, I've learned how to parallel park since then, okay? Haley always says I'm bad at it, but it gets the job done. Might take me a couple minutes, but we get the job done. But I said that because that's really the difference where people get confused between knowledge and wisdom, is that people a lot of times know what to do, but where they struggle is really knowing how to do it, having the wisdom of knowing how to do it, applying. So what wisdom really is knowing how to apply the knowledge that you have. I'm sure we can think of a lot of people that we know that have a lot of knowledge, but lack in the application parts, right, of their knowledge, right? Like, man, you have all these things figured out, but yet you haven't learned how to apply what you know and the knowledge that you've acquired. And that's real quickly, I think we have a slide, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is this, because we need to have this perspective before we move on, is that knowledge is acquisition, wisdom is application. So when you think of the difference between knowledge and wisdom, knowledge is acquiring, wisdom is applying. It's one thing to acquire and to begin to have the acquisition of knowledge. It's a whole different ballgame to begin to apply that knowledge, right? Like for Haley and I, we read all the baby books you could imagine. But it's one thing reading about it. It's a whole other thing applying that. And that's where wisdom steps in. That's where wisdom, oh, guys, they're taking the care back there. And that's where really wisdom, thank you guys. Can we give our serve team a hand clap for stepping in so quickly? Thank you guys. And that's where wisdom really steps in, is the application of the knowledge that you have. See, knowledge is knowing what to do, but wisdom is knowing how to do it. And what wisdom allows us to do is to apply the knowledge we have in the right way. Because just because we have knowledge, who knows this, just because you know a lot doesn't mean you have a lot of wisdom. Just because we might have acquired a lot of knowledge, that doesn't mean that we have learned the application of that knowledge in the right way, which is wisdom. But tonight, here's the encouraging thing, is that you and I, as children of God, we don't just have to rely or have to look to the wisdom of the world, but now you and I have access to the wisdom of God. And Scripture says this. This is what God actually said. He said, I chose the foolish things to what? Confound the wise. If you look at the life of Jesus and you look at who he selected. See, this is why I wasn't Jesus, okay? If I was Jesus, I would have done things totally different. But when Jesus came to this world, he chose his 12 disciples, right? If I would have had, if I had the choice of the 12 disciples, I would say, look, I want the greatest. I want the best. I want the people who have all the scripture memorized. I want these disciples to be the most experienced, to have all the knowledge. Like, I want the best of the best to be my disciples. But what did Jesus do? Did Jesus go up to the Pharisees and say, okay, whoever knows the most scripture out of y'all, and y'all can compete, and whoever wins will be one of my disciples? Did he go to the scribes and say, hey, who's ever written the most and memorized the most, you're going to be my disciples? No, Jesus went to what we would call would be foolish people. He went to fishermen, and he said, I want you to be my disciples. He didn't go to what the world would call were the wise people of that day. He went to the people who would others would say, you know what, they don't have all the experience. They don't have it all figured out. They really don't have all the things that we think you need to be able to accomplish what we feel like is to be successful in this world. They're just fishermen. But Jesus said this, I will use and work through the foolish to confound the wise. Why? And here's the thing about the disciples too. Many believe that the disciples are either 20 years old around there or younger, okay? So they weren't experienced. They didn't have all the know-how. Most of them were teenagers, okay? And in that day, the Jewish culture, if you were below the age of 30, you were below the age of having that type of wisdom and experience to begin even your own and go into ministry. But Jesus said, I'm selecting these people not because they have the most experience, not because they have all the things that you're supposed to have, all the prerequisites. No, I'm selecting these people because when I work through them, they're going to be able to know, the world's going to be able to know. It wasn't that the fishermen were smart. It was that Jesus was with them. Right? When the world looks at us, I don't want the world to say, oh, it's because you're so smart or so wise. No, I want the world to look at us and says, it wasn't because of them. It was because of Jesus in them that they're able to do the things that they're doing. And that confounds the wise of the world by saying, how is this possible? How can somebody who doesn't have the experience begin to now connect it to Jesus, have the know-how and the wisdom to be a good business person without the experience? How can somebody who didn't grow up in a Christian household, who doesn't know, didn't have an example in their life of how to have an atmosphere that honors God, how can that person then have a household of their own but then portray what God wants us to portray? Without the experience, without the example, the wisdom of God steps in. And that's what encourages us, is that we don't have to rely on our own knowledge, our own experience. We don't have to rely on the limitations of our mind. But now we can lean into the wisdom of God. And now we can confound the wise of this world and say, look, I might be foolish, but I got Jesus on the inside of me. What the world calls foolish, God can use to accomplish mighty things. What the world says you're not able, when the world looks at you and says you're too inexperienced, wisdom steps in and makes up the difference. And they're going to say, well, how did you know to make that business move? How did you know to communicate that way? How did you know to make that decision? You're going to say, look, it wasn't my degrees. It wasn't a book I read. It was the God on the inside of me. Give me the wisdom to make that decision. Okay, see, there's a such thing as God ideas. There's a such thing as God ideas and God decisions. Meaning that without God, you wouldn't have that idea. Meaning without God, you wouldn't make that decision. There are things called God ideas and God decisions that through the wisdom of God, you're able to now have the awareness of and follow after because you've chosen not to rely on just your own knowledge and experience, but on God's wisdom. And then you have a God idea. And let me tell you, let me tell you this. You can go way further with the ideas of God than you can with the ideas of man. When you have some God ideas, he will expedite whatever you are doing and happen quickly, and people are going to look at you and say, you're a genius. Say, no, I got God on the inside of me giving me this idea. I know we've all related to that moment where we say, God, I don't know what to do, but we go into prayer, we seek after his face, and then God gives us an idea. Say, God, I wouldn't have thought that on my own. But now I'm connected to you, and now I can follow after you, and that's what wisdom is all about. But many consider Solomon as the wisest man who ever lived. Outside of Jesus, many people consider Solomon the wisest man who ever lived. Scripture says that people from all over the world would come just to listen to Solomon speak and teach and just look at the writings that he had. Scripture even says that he was wiser than the wise man of the East. He wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. He had all these words on wisdom that's still widely regarded and written about today. But back to that opening scripture, then the connection that we'll have with the two scriptures that we opened up with. If we go back to Proverbs 9, chapter 10, and this is a lot, there's a lot in this scripture. And we're going to sit on this for a little bit. But it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Everybody say beginning. Is the beginning of wisdom. To me, that word beginning just jumps out at me. Because when I see the word beginning, that means that if I try to skip over the beginning, I'm never even going to start. That means if I try to overlook what Scripture is telling me right now, if I try to say, you know what, maybe I can skip this step, then I'm never going to even cross the starting line. I'm never even going to be on this path of wisdom. But he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, when Solomon wrote about the fear of the Lord, he wasn't saying that we need to be afraid of God. Some people can be confused. Well, does that mean that we're supposed to be afraid or be fearful or be in a place to where we need to almost be hidden away and then try to be in a place of fearfulness towards God? That's not what Solomon was writing about, because Scripture says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? So what Solomon was writing wasn't that we should be afraid of God. Instead, this is what Solomon was writing about, is that we need to be in awe and admiration of God. That the beginning of wisdom is to be in awe and to have reverence for what God is and who he and what he has done for you. Like, the beginning of wisdom is for us to be in awe of God. So what Solomon was writing wasn't for us to be afraid of God. He was telling us to be in awe of God. Meaning that once you start to realize how big of a God you serve and the things that he's done and the sovereignty of God, once you begin to have that type of awareness, you'll begin to understand why you need to obey him, right? You'll begin to understand, hey, what God has to say, it must have some sense to me, because look, he's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So when he speaks, I need to listen. And when you have that fear of the Lord on the inside of you, where you're just in awe of what he's done for you, where you're just in awe of what he can do, when you're in awe of the power of God, you're going to lean into that obedience because you know what he's capable of. But if you're in that place where you don't have it, you'll miss out on those opportunities of wisdom. But that's point one for tonight, is that awareness, everybody say awareness. Awareness of God's power is the root of wisdom. If you are not aware of how powerful your God is, you will be convinced to follow after different avenues and voices in your life. Because you'll be saying, well, maybe they have more to offer. Maybe the culture of this world has more to offer than God. Or maybe the people of this world has more to offer than God. Or maybe these things, you'll begin to convince. But once you have the fear of the Lord in your heart, You're going to say, look, it doesn't matter what you say or what they say or what the world says. I know who has the final say, and that's God and Jesus sitting in the right side of the Father. I know who has the final say. I know who has all the power. You won't be convinced otherwise because you have the fear of the Lord on the inside of you. You're in awe of what God has done for you. You're in awe of what the sovereignty that he has. And when you have that voice on the inside of you, will you know how powerful of a God you serve? Whenever opposition comes your way, you're not going to be convinced to steer away from God and be disobedient to him. Because you're going to say, hey, well, look, no, I am aware about how powerful God is. So therefore, it doesn't matter what's coming against me. I know that if I disobey God, I'm going to have victory over this situation. I know if I just submit myself to what God is asking of me, I know I'm going to come out on top. And that's what really having the fear of the Lord is saying I have more awe of God's power than I am in awe of the world's power. I'm in more awe of God's power than I am in awe of the enemy's power. So I will submit myself, and if you will do this subconsciously without realizing it, you will submit yourself to whatever power you think is greater. If you think the power of people is greater than the power of God, then you're going to submit yourself to people. It's going to be say, well, look, they have all the opinions, they have all the connections, they have all whatever it is, and without even knowing it, you're more fearful of man than you are of God. And you're saying, well, what if they say this about me? What if they do that? What if they? And you, without even realizing, you are acknowledging in your spirit that you're saying, I believe that people have more power than God. And you have more fear of people than you have the fear of God. You're more in awe of people than you are in awe of God. But when you say, no, I have the fear of the Lord in my heart. So that means it doesn't matter what so-and-so says. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. I know who has the power, and I'm submitted to that power, and that's Christ. Who's thankful for the power of God that we have to be in the fear of the Lord towards him? That's a beginning of wisdom, is to have that understanding within yourself of saying, look, God has all the power. God has all the power. That's the beginning of wisdom. Now, if we continue with Proverbs 9, verse 10, we go to the second half. It says, the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in Proverbs 9, verse 10, and it says, the knowledge, everybody say knowledge. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. When Solomon asked God for an understanding heart, it was a very powerful moment in his mind and perspective of what he was telling God. When Solomon said to God, he said, look, I'm not going to ask for riches. I'm not going to ask for power. I'm not going to ask. I'm asking for an understanding heart. And this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. I think we have that scripture. I know we went over it. He says, this says, give me an understanding heart. Notice he didn't say, give me an understanding head. Right? He said, give me an understanding heart. Because people are confused and think wisdom comes from the head when it doesn't. Wisdom comes from the heart. Wisdom doesn't come from our own thinking. Wisdom comes from the influence of God on our heart. Let me give you an example. I'm sure we've all experienced this. God has given you insight into a situation, and you're saying, God, this doesn't make much sense up here in my mind, but for some reason, I have peace about the decision in my heart. God, I don't really understand why you're asking me to do this. I don't really understand why you want me to take this leap of faith. And it doesn't make sense in my mind, but I feel peace in my heart, and I feel the wisdom guiding me, so I'm going to follow after you. And have an understanding heart. And that's when we're allowing God to follow after us. Solomon said, an understanding heart is what he asked for. He didn't ask for anything else. He said, an understanding heart. The word understanding, we're broken down into the language of the day. The word understanding means this. The word understanding means to listen. Everybody say listen. The word understanding means to listen. So when God, when Solomon was talking to God, this is what he was saying. He said, God, all I want is a heart that will listen to your word. A heart that hears from you. Not a heart that is hardened, not a heart that is closed off, but a heart that is able to listen to the voice and the direction of God. Because here's the thing, God can speak to you, but if your heart is hard, you'll never listen to what he's saying. God can begin to give you insight. I think this is sometimes where a lot of us get stuck in, is that we're asking God for wisdom, but we're so closed off to change. We're so closed off to anything outside of our understanding. We're so closed off to anything outside of our comfort zone that we have a hardened heart. We're set in our ways, but we're asking God for wisdom. And then we're like saying, well, God, this doesn't really make sense in this. But really, what Solomon was saying, say, God, I don't want to be so caught up in my own ways that I have hardened my heart towards your ways. Say, God, I want a understanding. I want an open heart. He said, I don't want a closed heart. I want an open heart. And that's point two for tonight is this, is that God's wisdom can only fill an open heart. God's wisdom can only fill an open heart. So if you're asking God for wisdom, but your heart is closed to changing and your heart is closed to anything outside of what you think is right, it's going to be hard for God to fill you up. But if we pray, say, God, soften my heart right now. God, I pray right now, Father, for hearts being softened to your word. God, I pray right now, Father, for hearts being softened towards your spirit, towards your wisdom, God, that there is no hard hearts in this house, but God, there are hearing hearts, God, listening hearts, hearts ready to be altered and changed because we're not so stuck in our ways that we feel like we have it all figured out. But God, we want to submit to you. We want our heart to be open to you. We want to be able, God, to hear your direction so we don't make the same mistake over and over and over. No, we want to live a life of wisdom, God. So we thank you for softened hearts in this place tonight. We thank you, Father, for your spirit being able to speak so loudly that we're able to listen, that we're not closed off, but God, like Solomon prayed for, that we have a heart of understanding. And in the name of Jesus, everybody says amen, amen, amen. If we have an open heart, guess what? God's going to fill up that heart. If our heart is open to him, God's going to fill it up. That's what scripture actually says in James chapter 1, verse 5. It says in James 1, 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, this is the brother, half-brother of Jesus. He says, if you lack wisdom, all you have to do is ask God. Very simple. He said, hey, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will freely give it to you. So I don't think the problem is that God doesn't have enough wisdom for everybody. I don't think the problem is that we all have open hearts and God's like, man, I'm running out of wisdom fuel, right? I think the problem is that we try to ask God for something that we're closed off to. That we ask God for something, but we really don't have even the opening, the vessel that's allowed to be filled. And our hearts are closed, but we're asking God to fill us up. But scripture says, hey, if you lack wisdom, just ask God. And if your heart is open, God will freely fill you up. If you have a decision to make that really you're contemplating and you don't know, can I encourage you? You can always go to God for that decision. And here's the thing, too. There's no decision too small or too big. There's really not. I mean, there's been times like, God, Whataburger, Chick-fil-A, leave me, Lord. What do you want me to do? Right? I believe God speaks and says Chick-fil-A every time. I don't know. Maybe. But there's not a decision too small or too big. And if you learn to practice that, and instead of making decisions on your own all the time, and instead of going to decisions to God when you're broken down and messed up and have failed at everything else and all what you try to do, before getting to that place, if you just practice every day, every decision of making, of saying, and saying, God, what should I know? Again, I'm not saying, you know, hey, God, what socks should I wear? Maybe, I don't know. But if you practice that decision making, and if you practice having your heart open, And if you practice that being a lifestyle, before you know it, you're going to be able to now have that clear direction from God whenever you need it. Because you're going to be saying, hey, this isn't my first rodeo. This isn't the first time I ask God for anything. I have a lifestyle of asking God and him giving me his opinion. And scripture says that if I ask God if anything, he's going to let me know. If I lack wisdom, he will give it to me. So I now have a lifestyle of whenever a decision comes up, I don't make it on my own, but I tap into the wisdom of God. And now I'm able to not make the same mistakes over and over and over anymore, but now I can say, God, I have your wisdom on my side. And when you practice that and make it a lifestyle, you'll begin to see the fruit of it. But there's ways to soften your heart. There's ways to soften your heart. And this is why spending time with Jesus is so important, because the more we spend time with Jesus, the softer our heart gets to his voice. The more time you spend in prayer, the more your heart will be softened towards his direction and wisdom for you. The more time you spend if you're in scripture and you're reading God's word, who's ever experienced this where you're reading God's word and you just feel your heart being this, getting like a surgery done in your heart? And you're like, oh man, that was good. And you see a change there. And like it, this begins to break down. That's what scripture says, is that his word is a two-edged sword. It begins to cut away that doesn't belong. It begins to cut away the calluses of our heart and begins to allow us now to be receptive to his voice. And so for us to begin to be in his presence and to be in that place and saying, God, the more we spend time in God's presence, the softer our heart will get. Because here's another thing too. If you think, oh, I made it to a place where my heart's totally open, I don't need to pray no more, I don't need to read God's word anymore, man, I definitely don't need to go to church anymore, I'm telling you, your heart will become hardened real quick. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow after me. Because what he was trying to say is, you don't need me every once in a while. You need me every day, every moment, every breath. You need my voice in your life. And so when we practice those devotion times with God, the more our hearts will be softened. Spending time in God's presence, but also spending time with God's people, will soften your hearts. There's been times where, right, life gets frustrating and confusing, and you just want to be by yourself, right? Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. They don't understand my issues. They don't understand my problems. But you get into the house of God, or you call up a church family member, and you begin to talk to them, and then now you now realize you're not in this life alone, but you have brothers and sisters in Christ. And now, because you're with God's people, you begin to now talk about Jesus and be encouraged, and now your heart's become softened. And that's why I'm so thankful for the church. Who's thankful for the church? We're able to come into this place together, and when our heart is able to be transformed. James chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. Now, James is talking about wisdom. And he says, but the wisdom that is from, did he say us? He says, the wisdom that is from the world. He said, the wisdom that is from above is first and pure. Then he begins to describe it. Now, let me know if this describes any of y'all perfectly, okay? Because if this describes you perfectly, you might be Jesus. I don't know. But then he begins to describe it. He says, above is first pure, then they're peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I read that and say, God, that's hard to live up to. But the wisdom he says that he's describing, he says, well, the wisdom doesn't come from you. The wisdom that I have for you isn't from a place that comes from yourself, because if it came from ourselves, then guess what? We're going to fall short because we're not that way. All of us will still make mistakes. Well, there'll be times where we'll try, but there were times we'll fall short. But he said, no, the wisdom comes from above. Meaning that the wisdom that I have for you comes from God himself, from his Holy Spirit. And so now we don't have to worry about us being perfect to qualify for wisdom. But now we know that wisdom lives on the inside of us. And that through the Holy Spirit, he will help us to make the decisions and to begin to from a different perspective, from a perspective that's from above, he will allow us to make decisions not limited by our own humanity or perspective. What I've learned is that with wisdom, that when you're able to view decisions, when you're able to view life through the perspective that God has, not a limited perspective that you have, when you begin to see and view things from the perspective from above, you're able to practice wisdom correctly. Because our perspective is limited. Our perspective doesn't see tomorrow. So a decision that seems good today might not be good tomorrow. Right? We've all made decisions that sound really good in the moment, but years looking back, we said that was not a good decision. Right? Because our perspective is limited. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's around the corner. We don't know. We don't have that perspective. But James has said that you will get wisdom from above. You will get a perspective from above that you'll be able to now see things the way and the perspective that God views things. And to now you don't have to make decisions that are limited by your perspective, but now you can make decisions from the perspective of the kingdom of heaven. And now you don't, now you're not just lost in the small picture of things, but now you can see things from the big picture. And there'll be moments in your life to where from your human perspective, you're going to say, this is messed up. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. I don't know what decision to make. But when you connect to the perspective that God has on your life, and you begin now, God begins to see and reveal the wisdom that he has, and you begin to see the bigger perspective, you begin to realize what you actually need to do, and God gives you that wisdom. Because now that's how we can live life. God called us to live life in heavenly places, right? He called us to live life not stuck in the same perspective that our humanity limits us to. God said, now we have a connection to God, and now we can begin to make decisions that otherwise we wouldn't make because now God has given us a perspective. And now things that seem so, decisions that seem like it was so unattainable, you didn't know really what to do, God has given you wisdom. And maybe you're saying, God, I can't really see around the corner, but you're giving me wisdom to make this decision. And it makes sense then. But then you look back a few years later and say, okay, that's what God had planned all along. Because God's perspective isn't limited by today or by this moment, but he sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. So that means when God gives you the wisdom to make a decision, it's not just affecting you right now, but he sees what's going to happen in your future. And so that's why we have to trust God and follow after his wisdom, because his perspective is so much bigger than ours. His perspective is not limited. His perspective is not one that is contained. His perspective isn't one that is limited by time or place. His perspective is all-knowing. And you and I can now can have a connection to that perspective. Isn't that an awesome thing? That we don't have to live life blinded by our own perspective and lack and limitations to, but now we can say, God, I want to make decisions that don't just, it's limited, but I want to make decisions that are from a bigger perspective, from a God perspective. And that's really where wisdom takes place. That's point three for tonight, is that wisdom is making decisions from a kingdom perspective. Wisdom is making decisions from a kingdom perspective, meaning, say, I'm not making decisions with my life. My life isn't operated by making decisions that just affect myself and from my limited perspective. But now the decisions I make are from a kingdom perspective. And now I see the big picture. And now I see the part that I play. And I see what God is doing and what God is accomplishing on this earth. And I'm not just making decisions limited by my perspective, but I want to be connected to the perspective that God has. Worship team, you can join me. Wisdom is saying, God, I don't want to live a life limited by the lens that I see through. But I want to live a life connected to the perspective that God has for me. So now I can make decisions that isn't limited no longer, but now I can make decisions that not is just a good idea, but it's a God idea. Now it's not just an idea that would have been something that maybe affected on a small scale, but now I can make a decision that I know that God has connected it to, and now I know that this idea didn't just come from myself, it came from God. And when you have that wisdom in your life, and we're able to walk, Scripture says for us what, to walk in that wisdom, when we're able to live a life of that wisdom, life gets a whole lot less stressful. Because now we're saying, I'm not making decisions on my own anymore. I'm not living this life restricted by my perspective anymore. I'm not living this life wondering, staying up at night, wondering if I made the right decision. Because when you partner with God and allow His voice to lead you, you know that His decision is the best decision. So you're going to sleep well at night. You're not going to be stressed out whether or not you did the right thing. You're not going to be overwhelmed whether or not if you're going to have the capacity to make this correct decision. You say, no, look, I'm not limited any longer. My decisions isn't limited by my own knowledge and by my own thinking and by my own know-how, but now I am connected to the Spirit of wisdom. And now I can make a decision, and I know it was the right decision. Because I'm in awe of God. I know that He's all sovereign. I know that He has all the power. I know that He has all the abilities. He has everything is under His name. So I know when He tells me to do something, I'm going to listen. And my heart is able now to be open. My heart isn't hardened. My heart isn't in a place to where I can't hear. But now my heart is in a place to where it's softened and I have a listening heart to where God speaks to me. When I'm making a decision, I'm not limited any longer. We weren't meant to live this life limited. We're meant to live this life with Jesus. Let me tell you this, Jesus isn't limited. If we're living with Jesus, Jesus isn't limited. But Jesus allows us to live a life that is limitless. And now we can say, God, whatever You have in front of me, I'm not afraid because I know I have Your wisdom directing me. Now this new business coming up, I'm not afraid of how to operate it because I'm not on my own. Now that I'm a parent and I didn't grow up in a Christian household, I'm not afraid of how to do what to do because I'm not on my own. I got Your wisdom. I got the Spirit of wisdom on my side. I know I can go and listen to You. I'm about to get married, and all I've known, my parents, my grandparents, all I've ever known is toxic relationships. But guess what? If you allow God to soften your heart and you listen to Him, you're not going to be limited by that. You're not going to be limited by the past. You're not going to be limited by what you know. You're not going to be limited by what's all you can understand. But when we connect to God, we have unlimited perspective. Amen? Can we believe that? Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. You can stand to your feet. I'm closing. I want to close with a scripture that we opened up with. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. If you know the life of Solomon, then you know that his life, it was a life that really was one of disappointment. Because although Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and he had all this wisdom, even though he had all these riches and he had all this success, it says that in his old days, when he got older in life, his heart became contaminated and his heart became closed off to God. And Scripture says he allowed idols into his home, and in his own house there was pagan worship. In the temple there was pagan worship. In his own place there was in his own house. He allowed the enemy to seep in, and he lost all the things that he had. Because here's the thing about wisdom, it's not just about possessing wisdom, it's about practicing wisdom. And we have to live a life each and every day, not just relying on what we've done in the past and say, this will carry me to my tomorrow. Not just saying, well, I have all this experience and I have all these accomplishments, but saying, God, I need Your wisdom every day. I'm going to follow after Your righteousness every day. I'm going to follow after what You have for me every day. Because this is what God told Solomon in verse 14. He says, if you follow me and obey my decrees, he says, look, you can have all the wisdom, but you have to follow me and obey my decrees and commands as your father David did, and I will give you a long life. You know, there's a lot of different opinions on what happened to Solomon, but I think Solomon got to a place where he began to rely on himself more than God, and he stopped pursuing after him. And even though he had all this wisdom, because he wasn't connected to the wisdom giver, he lost and made decisions that he probably never thought he would. It's a closing thought for tonight is this. It's that if we pursue, everybody say pursue. If we pursue after God and his righteousness, then we're going to walk in wisdom. Life's not just about pursuing the wisdom of the world. If we pursue after God each and every day, we say, God, I'm pursuing after you. I'm pursuing after your righteousness. I'm pursuing after your ways. If we just pursue after God every day, we're going to walk in wisdom. If we say, God, every day I want to pursue after you. Every day, God, I want more of you. God, every day I want to spend time in your presence. Every day I want to spend time in a place of worship with you. Every day I want to be connected. And if we pursue after God and his righteousness, then we're going to walk in his wisdom. With every head bowed and eyes closed, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for softening hearts. What I want to do right now, prayer team, you can come to the front. Pastors and prayer partners, what I felt strongly is this. You say, Pastor CJ, I feel like my heart has become hardened. I feel like my heart has come to a place where it needs softening. I need a refreshing. I need a place where I can be able to be sensitive to God's Spirit again. I need that renewal. I need to get into that place where the Holy Spirit allows me to hear his voice once again clearly. And you're saying, Pastor CJ, I just need a refreshing. Every once in a while, we just need a refreshing. Every once in a while, we just need to be able to come into that place and we're able to say, God, just make my heart, God, soften again. God, make it in a place to where it breaks the calluses, it breaks the barriers, it breaks, God, the things, the hardness of it. We just need to be having softened hearts. If that's you, you can come to the front. Our pastors and prayer partners would love to pray with you. But Father, we thank you right now for what you're doing in this place. God, we stir up the atmosphere. God, we stir up your spirit. God, have your way. God, let your righteousness run free right now. Let your spirit begin to work on the hearts of every individual, that our hearts are softened, our minds are open. We go into a place of worship. And God, if there's decisions, God, that are heavy on our heart, God, give us wisdom right now. God, I thank you for your wisdom coming in right now. And decisions that keep you up at night, God's going to give you the wisdom. Decisions that are stressing you out to make, God is going to give you the wisdom. Come on, let's just begin to sing. Let's begin to pray. If you need prayer, come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Let's sing together.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.